Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 verse 3. The Gospel of Mark chapter 5 verse 3. Mark chapter 5 verse 3 reads this way. It says, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We do thank you, Lord, for the time we have together in your word tonight. We ask that you just bless, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might worship you, Lord, our Savior, our loving Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit who has given to us salvation, such a great gift. Lord, may you be honored and glorified and highly exalted, and may we just be brought to a place that would honor and glorify you in worship tonight. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply "The Dwelling Among the Tombs." And this is really a picture before salvation in the life of every individual. We were trapped and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so we were just basically living among the dead until life enters in and gives us eternal life. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at three thoughts tonight. We're going to look at the importance of following Jesus by faith. We're going to look at an unwanted witness. And then we'll notice the mark of a desired relationship. And these are important. These are marks really of a life that has been changed and has been blessed by God. And we can enjoy that every day. And so tonight we have a reminder here of what the Lord has done in our lives. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And we're going to notice an unpleasant person and an unpleasant place here. And that's, of course, this maniac here of Gadara. And he's in the tombs here. Look at what verse 1 says. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." And so this man was in a very predicament, a difficult predicament, that he could not help himself. But there is one that could help him, amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one who can help us out of all of our chains and all of our traps and anything that would keep us in bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that sets us free, amen? And God wants us to understand that and to enjoy that and to seek the Lord in on that. You know, we have failures, and that's understandable. We don't want to accept those things, but God understands them. But we want to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, set me free for your honor and glory. Give me a testimony of the change that you can bring into my life." So notice what we have here. We find this unpleasant situation. Notice what it says here in verse 3, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." So that means they tried to bind him, didn't they? Now, maybe it was for his own good, or maybe it was for their protection. Either it may have been both, but they were trying to work with him, and they could not do it. Notice this, verse 4, "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." And so it was something that was beyond mankind, right? Salvation is also beyond mankind. But all things are possible with the Lord God. Amen. And so here's this situation, and God's going to convey this to the disciples. He's going to convey this to this man. He's going to convey this to the people that were the spectators that were there. And we're going to look at some things that we're going to have to just kind of draw some conclusions, give you some food for thought, and kind of hash this out and see what's going on. And that's really this whole understanding of this man that was possessed with this spirit, right? And these demons. And so you're going to find that there's kind of like an intertwining. That's the way I see it. I'm going to let you draw your own conclusion on this. We find that the man is still there, but also the demons are there at the same time. And so this is the problem. He knew he was possessed. He knew he was having a problem. He was tormented. If he was oblivious to it, it's kind of like if you've ever been put under, right, for any kind of a procedure, you have no clue what's going on.
This man was not put under. He was simply possessed, and he knew about it, and he wanted to be free. He was tormented, right? Could you imagine having some kind of a surgery procedure with no putting you out, right? I wouldn't want that. And there was a time where they did that, right? When they didn't have the ways to put you under and stuff like that, and they needed to perform these surgeries. They tried to do different things. But there was a method that I heard some years ago. The doctor said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your wound one time, and while I perform the surgery, I want you to keep your eyes on me. Can you imagine that? That would be a battle, wouldn't it, right? And so the Lord here was wanting to get the attention of this man and to free him of that which was oppressing him. So he was aware of everything that was taking place in his life. He just had no control over it. And likewise also, when we were lost in our sins, we really had no control over our sins, not like we do with the Lord Jesus Christ that overcomes the sins that easily beset us. And so notice again here, verse 5, it says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw, now listen, it talks about him in the singular, right? Okay, so it says here in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? So this man knew he was in trouble, and he also knew, and by the way, the demons also knew, and the spirit also knew who the Lord was, but he ran and worshiped him, and the Greek connotation is that he knelt down and he kissed his hand. Can you imagine? So it was visible. It was understood that he was worshiping him. Now listen, this man who's crazy, and he's running towards the Lord, but the Lord has no fear, does he? He's in complete control, and they're amongst here in the tombs. And I don't know about you, but if you're in a graveyard and there's a crazy man running at you, I would be a little bit intimidated, just to say the least, right? Maybe a little bit more than just a little bit, right? And so here he comes, but when he sees him, he falls down and he worships the Lord. And notice what it says here in verse 7, and with a loud voice, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, so we don't know at this particular case. Now, is this the evil spirit and the demons that are talking? But I do believe that the man that's entrapped by these spirits is aware of what's going on, and these demons are also aware. And I want you to stop and think about something here also. Every one of these demons at one point used to worship God before they fell. When they were created, they knew who God the Father was. They knew who God the Son was. And they knew who God the Holy Spirit was. And they do know the power of God that exists in the world. The devils believe, but they tremble. And so they can also worship also. Of course, this is not acceptable with the Lord. But I believe that this maniac of Gadara was seeing some hope in his life here, and a possibility of being freed from this affliction that he was suffering. So he says, torment me not. Notice verse 8, it says, for he said, notice again singular, for he said unto him, come out of the man, speaking of the Lord, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, this is the singular again, he answered saying, my name is Legion. Now we know this is the demons, right? So, but it's speaking of him still in the singular. So he says here, he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So now we get an idea that there's more than just one spirit here. And he besought him much, this is the demon here, and he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils now. Do you see this? There's an evil spirit. There's the man that's trapped, right, that's possessed, and then now they're all the demons. And notice what they do here. And all the devils besought him in verse 12, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea where there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, they say a legion is about 2,000, right? And so maybe there were 2,000 demons, one for each pig. I don't know. We're not really told here, but here's the idea. This man was imprisoned by this possession. And he could not help himself, but there was, praise God, there was one who could. And he happened to come that way. That was the Lord's way, wasn't it? And so no matter what you and I might be facing, help is on the horizon, especially as a child of God. The Lord wants to help us out of all of our trials and all of our troubles. But he also wants us to honor and glorify his name, even through those trials and through those troubles that we, listen, you know, we can always rejoice in the Lord, can we not? Why can we rejoice? Well, because we are blood-bought children of the Son of God. Amen? And we belong to, our names are written in heaven. Isn't that amazing? And all that we could ever go through, and please, I don't want to take that lightly. I don't like to suffer. I don't. But in comparison to eternity, time is very short. And so you could look back and you could say, boy, I was going through a hard time in life in this particular place or that particular place in life. But look, they're gone now, aren't they? And one day, praise God, all of our troubles and all of our trials will be gone. So the best thing for us as believers is to trust the Lord that in our weakness, the Lord is glorified. And that is why we trust the Lord and walk in the Spirit of God, praising the Lord. How is it that we would praise the Lord? Shall we complain, gripe, and moan and complain? Does that glorify the Lord? Not a little bit. Not a little bit. But you know what? What should I look at? Should I look at that I'm a child of the King? Should I look at that I have a home in heaven and nobody takes me out of the Father's hands? Isn't that great? Shall we not rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Shall not we rejoice that we'll be in heaven for eternity and learning all about the love of God and the grace of God forever and ever, and be with those that have gone on before us and be united with those that have trusted the Lord and gone on before? Isn't that going to be something? And yet, on top of all of what we can imagine, God says that he has things in store for us that haven't even entered into our minds that he has in store for those that love him. Isn't that something? And so we can praise the Lord for that. But anyway, back in the situation here was this unknown situation, and the Lord enters into it and begins to deal with it, and he's also confronting these demons. And notice what it says here in verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. And notice this, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So here it is, ready? What are these people thinking about? What are they seeing, right? I don't know exactly how much they understood of what was going on. No doubt they were there. They were seeing what was taking place. And maybe when they saw the maniac of Gadara running towards the Lord, they said, boy, oh boy, he's in for a surprise. They said, oh, he's going to get his, isn't he? And then all of a sudden they saw something that they'd never seen before, because they all tried to tie him down. They all tried to keep him in his place and from hurting himself or from hurting others. And they were to no avail, right? And now all of a sudden here comes a man that puts a stop to him and has this conversation, has this dialogue. Don't you know they're saying, what's going on over here? We've been trying to do that, and we've never, to no avail, we have had no success at all with this man. Here comes this Jesus, and look what he's doing. But then all of a sudden, there's this little conversation that takes place, and the next thing they know, their pigs are running down into the water, and they're dying. And what do you think's on their mind? We're responsible. We're the hirelings. This is our income. We have to go report this and find out, hey, listen, all of your livestock, it's gone. It's gone. That's not good news, right? And so they're saying, if we don't say something, they're going to want to know what happened to all the pigs. We better go tell them so it's not on us. We could point the finger at somebody else. We didn't do it. This is what happened. And now we want to kind of be justified in this and take care of our responsibility. So they had a different concern. They were more concerned about their possessions and the pigs and things that they were responsible for. But the Lord was doing something even bigger than that in their lives. So here we find what's really an unwanted witness. They really didn't want this, and it's because it interfered with their income, right? And so, I can't even imagine this here. And we're going to say in their ignorance, they don't understand, right? Likewise, also in our ignorance, before somebody told us about the Lord and the love of God, we went our own way. And so here they are, they're just kind of taking care of business, and we're not going to fault them for that. That's what the natural man does. And so the Lord is going to really straighten all that out and help them out as well. Not at this one time, but he will help them. We'll see that here in just a minute. But here it is, they saw what was going on. They went and told those in the city that were their employers, verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil that and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now get this. You remember this crazy man? Now all of a sudden they see him like they've never seen him before, and he was in his right mind, and that frightened them. Why would that have frightened them? Well, because obviously Jesus did something they could never do. Amen? And God had changed this man's life. And so to one degree or another, I am convinced that they thought that he was something to be reckoned with, right? They could not do it. They have made their attempts at it, and the Lord did something they could not do. And so here they were beholding this. Again, they're in the natural realm, and I believe the Lord loves them. But they're in their ignorance. God's not done with them, praise the Lord. Just like he's not done with us, he's wanting to bring everybody unto salvation. Isn't that the way of the Lord? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so even in their ignorance, and this, I want to focus in on that a little bit, because you and I were at one time ignorant of salvation as well. And God was patient and long-suffering and gentle with us to bring us unto himself. And so here they are. We could get mad at them, but we won't do that, because they're ignorant of what the Lord is doing, as we were at one time. And so they were watching what was going on. They see this man in his right mind. Look at verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So what do? They say, okay, listen. This is what happened. He was crazy. We know he was possessed with a devil. And I don't know, demons are scary things. I wouldn't want to fool with that. They start doing things and who knows what they do. But whatever it is, it would terrify me unless the Lord enabled me to stand in that kind of a situation. And these people saw that, and the Lord straightens that all out. But in the meantime, also, 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of livestock, isn't it? And they're all gone. And so they don't know what to make out of it. And here's what they do. Verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Isn't that something? We want you to leave. You did something great, and we don't know how to take that in. And the Lord understood that. Amazing. You know, you and I, and I don't want to be blasphemous here, if we were God, we might be offended, wouldn't we? But God, praise the Lord, we're not God, right? Praise the Lord, we're not God. And God is loving and understanding and gentle and kind, and he did not get upset with them. You remember when the disciples were with the Lord, and the Lord was turned away from a certain village, and they wanted to call down fire from heaven, and the Lord said, nope. In fact, he said this. Listen to this. He said, ye know not of what spirit you're of. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord understood by what they said, the Lord knew what spirit they were of. Do you know by what we say, we portray what spirit we're of? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. He said, the Son of God has not come to destroy life, but to save it. And so he corrected them and helped them to understand. Now, the Lord didn't get mad with them. He understands us. It takes us a little while to learn spiritual things and the heart and mind of the Lord and what the Lord is all about. Do you see where they were coming from? Lord, you want us to call down fire? Let's get them. Let's get this. Let's wipe out the whole village. My goodness, if you left salvation up to them, I think they'd wipe out the whole world, wouldn't they? At that particular point. But what did the Lord say? Oh, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. You don't know what spirit you're of. You're certainly not of the spirit of the love of God and the salvation of the Lord and the mercy of God. Where's that? Have you forgotten that? And the grace of God that you've been the recipient of. Where is that? And so he says, you know not of what spirit you're of. And so the Lord was showing them that by the words we speak, we reveal whether or not we're of the Spirit of God or the spirit of the natural man. And so they didn't understand that. And so likewise here, these people that were telling the Lord to go away, what spirit were they of? Well, they were of the spirit of the natural man. They did not know the Lord. And the Lord knew that. But guess what? Listen, the Lord wants them to know him. How will people want to know more about the Lord? By the Spirit of God. Yes. By the Spirit of God in us. And what is that Spirit of God in us? Well, it's gentle, it's kind, it's long-suffering, it's patient. It's all of these things that point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you remember what the Lord said, if you're going to follow me, you'll have to do something that's a little that you can't do, but you have to do it, and you have to ask me to do it, and that is to deny yourself. And follow me. And so as we deny ourselves, what we're doing is we're taking self off the throne the way I think, right? And taking on the way the Lord thinks. And that is to be gentle and kind and long-suffering. And so here are these people that certainly need salvation. This man certainly needed salvation. But he needed the mercy of God in his life. And so did these people as well need the mercy of God. And so, as we look at this here, we pick up with the last thought here, and this is the mark of a desired relationship. And this is important, really, for every believer to have. And notice what happens here in verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He says, I want to be. That's a good sign, isn't it? When people trust the Lord, they ought to want to be around the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. And not the things of the world and not the things that bring disharmony, but that bring unity and bring in the love of God, that open up the door for the Lord and the things of God that they might walk in the ways of the Lord. And so I'm convinced this man was a little bit thankful, wouldn't you say? Just a little bit. He was freed from his chains. You know, you and I in salvation were also freed from our chains that were going to take us down to hell. Our sins were going to destroy us. God has given to us eternal life. How thankful should we be for that? How thankful? We should be all thankful. Lord, we should be saying, like the psalmist said, who am I, Lord? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you thought about me, and that you cared about me, and that you sent your son to give me eternal life. And again, you granted me your mercy. So, verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, or didn't allow him, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Isn't that good? So, and this was in our Sunday school lesson here this morning from a different text out of the book of Luke. But as we consider this, he said, you know what the Lord is saying? They know who you are, right? Brother Jason brought that out. What a testimony of all the people. They knew him. And now they're going to see the new him, aren't they? They knew him before, and now they're going to see the new him, the difference that God has made in his life. And he could tell them the way of salvation. Amen. See, the Lord cared that, you know what's going to happen? What are they going to see? They're going to see this individual who's been changed and redeemed. Do you think he's thankful for what God has done for them, him? And then he's going to be able to go ahead and tell them about the love of God and the mercy of God. And he could even say this, do you know, I wanted to go with the Lord to be with him. And you know what he told me to do? He told me to stay here and tell you about what God has done for me so you can have the same relationship I have with him. Isn't that something? He wanted them because of God's will. See, we get this one idea. Lord, it would be better for me to go with you. And the Lord says, oh, it's even going to be even better for you to stay here and tell these others about me so that they might know you, know me through you, and that we'll all be together one day, right? In the Lord. And so he says here again, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered and not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed, listen to this, and he departed, the Lord departs, or this man departs and began, he didn't wait, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Listen to this, and all men did what? Isn't that something? And all men, everybody he spoke to, don't you know, let me ask you this. When that man started to see what people, they were marveling, they were listening, they were taking it in. When people marvel, they're drawn, right? When people, they're captivated, they're caught, and so they're listening to this man, and they're drawn to him, and don't you know that this man said, Jesus gave me the best job in the whole world. I get to tell these people what Jesus did for me, and these people want to hear it. And they want to hear it from me because they see the change that God made in my life, and that's drawing the whole world. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and that's what this man did. He said, I'll draw all men unto myself. And so praise the Lord that he was dwelling among the tombs, but Jesus entered in and freed him, amen, and gave him his life, and then allowed him to be a witness for his honor and glory. You know, the Lord did the same for you and I. He freed us from our sins and has given to you and I eternal life. We were at one time dwelling among the tombs as well. Not the same tombs, but among the dead, and God has put us in the book of life. Amen? Amen? And so praise the Lord, we get to witness and share the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. Would you stand with me as we pray, and we'll have a stanza of invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word, the reminder, Lord, that it gives us of what you've done in our lives, what you've given to us in salvation, and Lord, the privilege of telling others about you. Bless each one here, Lord. We ask that you would just allow us to be the witness and the testimony of your great grace that you've given to us, to a lost and dying world. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.